Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the set manager for Second City Hockey, and I've got my usual crew with me this evening, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. So let me get them in here first so we can get right to it. First off, it is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepherd Price.
Hi, I'm equally deserving of $9.5 million a year as Seth Jones, which is to say, I'm not.
Because, like, equally deserving, like, I mean, he's played a couple more NHL games than you have. Just a few.
Oh, neither of us should be making that type of money, but neither of us should be making that type of money.
So what you're saying is you should be at zero, and he's at nine, so he should be making 475. That's right in the middle. Is that the math we're doing here?
I should be making a little bit more than what I'm making right now, but he should be like, yeah, 475 is fine.
I wish it was 475. It is decidedly not, though. Also with us this evening, he is a Second City Hockey. Well, Chris Caraba is the Dashboard Confessional. It is Mil Savage.
I literally don't care about anything.
All right, well, that's the show, folks. See you later. We're off to a roaring start, guys. And also with us this evening, she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text, Betsy.
I mean, Shepherd, at least you didn't get called bitter because of stats, which is what I got called not once but twice in different comment sections. What do I have to be bitter about?
The stats don't make you bitter. The score makes you bitter, and the stats tell you why that score is the way it is.
It's just, it's a weird thing because I'm like, I hope the stats are wrong because the team I root for, I want them to be better. So if the stats are right, I lose. If the stats are wrong, I win as a fan. So that's not, I don't understand. Insults, at least make them make sense.
Yeah. Like we both me and LBR will very much say, like, please let make us eat our words.
Yeah. I want Seth Jones to shove like our heads in a toilet, like a bully from high school with how bad I want him to make me regret my words.
Yeah. Be a 1D. I dare you.
You might have to eat your words if we can't FedEx you a decent pizza.
Oh, Jesus.
don't get me started. St. Louis, what are you doing? Hi. What are you doing?
Not making good pizza. Not at all.
No. Not making real pizza.
I'll give them credit for their barbecue, but that's it. Everyone's here. We've got like a whole bunch of shit's happened. I feel like if you listen to this podcast, you're probably aware of most of the things that have happened recently in the Blackhawks world. And before we get into all that, I just want to quickly address the elephant in the room. With all these sexual assault allegations against the Blackhawks, they're it's still going. There's more things that come out. They keep getting worse. We just there. I don't really know what we can say about them other than what we said 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we're just gonna kind of talk about the other things for now. And if we need to go back to that topic, we will. I think everything that we said 2 or 3 weeks ago is valid. They need to investigate it thoroughly, release it to the public, and whoever was involved in this cover up needs to be held accountable. But from there, let's transition to awkwardly transition to what's happened in the last week. It started before the draft. They traded a bunch of picks in Adam Boquist to Columbus. They got Seth Jones. Then they gave him a shit ton of money. Then they drafted a bunch of guys. And then the last few days, it's been a trade for, well, Nick Jalmerson retired, so that happened. Adam Gaudette got a one-year contract. Then the Hawks traded for Marc-Andre Fleury. And then they traded for Tyler Johnson. And then they traded away Nikita Zadorov. And then they signed Jujhar Khaira. I'm probably saying that name wrong. I have no idea.
Khaira? I think
Khaira sounds right. They also signed Jake McCabe, a defenseman from Buffalo. And also, they decided not to re-sign three guys who have since signed contracts elsewhere, being David Kampf, Vinny Hinostroza, and Pew Suter. And Suter went to Detroit, which sucks because Mill.
Detroit sucks. And
there we go.
Huge, huge Sky Point. He's basically dead to us now. Sky Point, Pew Suter.
Well, my thought is Pope
is dead.
So I guess Detroit is... I'm so upset that I can't make Pope jokes anymore. But I guess Detroit's thinking is he can't score a hat trick against them if he's on the team. But
shout
anyway,
Ben Pope, though, our guy.
A whole bunch of shit has happened in the last week. They've completely revamped the direction and just overall, well, maybe not direction, but they just revamped this entire team, it feels like, in a week. And the main thing I want to get out of the panel, we're going to go one by one, and I'm going to start with Shepard. The main thing I want to ask you, Shepard, is the way you feel about this team now, what's the biggest difference today compared to the way it was a week ago?
For many reasons, I'm not a fan of this team anymore. But besides the obvious sexual assault scandal that we should continue to keep mentioning, just because other reporters are doing that less and less. So just... It's still a thing, and it's not been resolved, and please don't act like it's been resolved. Don't let the fact that Montreal is also a screwed-up organization with a man who is very firmly and very clearly now tied to this 2010 sexual assault scandal distract you from the fact that this is still going on. I don't like it as much as I did. They've made some moves I agree with, some moves I disagree with. The Seth Jones move, just from a pure on-ice standpoint, I disagree with firmly. Adam Boquist has been a better defenseman than Seth Jones each of the last two seasons.
Well, I was going to cut it because I've gone back and forth. Which part do you like? Which is the worst part? Is it the trade or the contract? And the answer cannot be yes.
The answer is yes, but...
Well, the answer might be yes for you. Because I'm not as spiteful of the trade. I still don't like
it.
I still think they gave up on Adam Boquist way too early, and I'm terrified of what he could become in the future because it'll just be a reminder of, hey, remember when the Hawks had this guy and he's not there anymore? We call it the Teuvo Teravainen experience. But it's just like – so like the trade is closer to – the trade doesn't bother me as much as the contract because I feel like contract could fuck them for 8 years, for the next decade.
The thing is, if it was for an actual first defenseman, I feel like the trade is fair. If it was for Shea Theodore, or it was for Doug, or like if Dougie Hamilton had signed that contract that he signed with New Jersey, he had signed that with Carolina, it was 8 years. I'd do that trade for Dougie Hamilton. I'd do that trade for 10 years ago, Mark Giordano.
You do that trade for a more proven commodity than what they got because.
Yes.
Seth Jones was once a number one defenseman. I don't think we can misstate that. Like 2 or 3 years ago, he was really, really good. Like I remember when they made that trade to get him, they traded Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones. And I think the overwhelming thought was, oh, Nashville just screwed up. Like I remember thinking that Seth Jones was going to be a problem for the Hawks for like 10 to 15 years because he was in the division playing for Nashville. And then he got traded to Columbus. But I remember like thinking Seth Jones was going to be a problem for a long time, and then he wasn't. So, like, I guess cross your fingers and hope it comes back, right?
Yeah, it's just It's top two protected. It's top two protected, that first round pick next season. What happens if the Blackhawks win the lottery or don't win the lottery and are really bad, which could equally happen? And it's Brad Lambert with that pick, who's weirdly Finnish. That's a Finnish. He's a Finnish player. Brad All right. Lambert.
I'm not Finnish. Doing 2022 draft shit yet.
I don't want, but, I don't like, want what to what happens if he falls to three? He's very, very good. He's arguably the second best player in a really strong class.
Atsuratti was the number one consensus pick at this time a year ago, wasn't he?
I think he was losing steam this time last year.
Well, all right. Well, let's work the room a little bit. Betsy, I'll ask you the same question I asked Shepard. The biggest difference between the way you feel about the Hawks a week ago as compared to now is what?
Well, I actually think they're better. I mean, you've got Johnson, who I don't think he's worth his cap hit, but I think he's an improvement. I know Suter is gone, but Johnson is better defensively than him. And if you're not factoring their contracts, I don't mind that. I like McCabe. I don't mind what's his face from Edmonton. I don't know if I can't pronounce. Tyra. He has some issues in transition, but if he's with a good enough, like he's good at puck retrieval and stuff like that. So he's decent fourth line. I don't think Kampf was worth 1.5 and I like him. So, and I'm going to give Jones a fresh start, and they got rid of Zadorov. So
they did get rid of Nikita Zadorov. I feel like we should have a moment of appreciation for, we don't have to do that show ever again. It's over. Yeah. It's over, ladies and gentlemen. Mission accomplished.
Personnel wise, I think they're in a technically better place, but it'll really depend on, like, will they bury Connolly so that they can keep like Kurashev up or something like that? Because I feel like with how many forwards they have, kids like Kurashev and Entwistle and stuff like that are going to have to go down because they just are waiver exempt. So they're not going to put down Borgstrom. I mean, maybe they'll waive Gaudette because nobody wants him. I don't want him. So, you know, it wouldn't be a loss if somebody picked him up, right?
Yeah.
And then Hino being gone, you know, Scherzer being gone is a little sucky because I actually thought he would fit in well with this group. I would have him over, say, Nylander. But I understand the potential of Nylander over long term is higher. Just if they're doing this whole, it makes it sound like they are, go for it season. I think Keenan Scherzer would have been a better fit. So I think they're better on paper. We'll have to see. And of course, there's still coaching issues. But again, totally different topic.
I figured we were going to wait for Mill to get to the coaching issues because he's always got the most eloquent way to do that. It's hard to disagree with anything you said. Like, I think the number one thing that you mentioned at the top is I think they're a better on-ice team than they were a week ago. The big question mark, I think the biggest question mark with that is whether or not Marc-Andre Fleury actually plays for the Blackhawks, because he is contemplating retirement. He doesn't really want to move there's apparently some reluctance on his behalf of moving his family from Vegas to Chicago. So understandable. And I guess we'll just see where that goes. But the thing you said about Kurashev, and I think it also applies with defense, like they have so many players now because they played so many young guys last season. There are so many guys who are at or near the NHL level that, like, A, it feels like more moves are coming, and I feel like they're going to be selling off parts at this point. But the other thing is, like, we went from a season that was kind of a rebuild, and I think that's over. Rebuild, retool, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, I think that's over for sure. Like, this team needs to win next season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how you went all in trying to get Flower and then not expect something more than a first round exit or something like that.
Yeah,
you know? Like, you're expecting more.
You don't trade for the 36 or 37 year old Vezina Trophy winner from last season and like as part of a rebuild. That's just that's not how that works.
Question that becomes, can they win? And the answer is one you're not gonna like.
See, I mean, if you, I think the roster's not bad. I think the bigger issue is that their division is loaded. So
yes, yeah,
that's gonna be a problem.
I think with the right coach, this group could do well. But
I'm
not saying they would win. I'm saying they could surprise. But there's no way without it. Like we kept saying, hey, one player can't make a change because we were like, oh, if we get Taves back, one player doesn't change a team. Well, they put in a lot of new players. They've taken out some players, so this is going to be a completely different team altogether. But the one factor that stayed the same is the factor we hate the most.
And this sounds like a perfect time to bring Mill in. So, Mill, same question to you. Biggest difference between last week and this week with how you feel about the Chicago Blackhawks?
Well, I think even if they if we don't agree with all the moves they made, they'll be at least interesting to watch now. It won't be
That's my word, interesting. I feel like they're interesting again.
Because this could be if they had a good coach, I actually think this team is a lot better than they are as they stand. Not like a cup contender, but maybe the fourth team in the playoffs in the division if they have a good coach. But it's like they could also be a complete tire fire. So it'll be interesting. But I think, with the coach being the caveat, obviously, aside from that, I think it's nice that they recognized, hey, as long as 19 and 88 are here, we're not going to do a full blowout rebuild. So just load up and try to do something different. I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's like, I can't watch the same shit anymore. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you, Mill. I like the idea. I'm glad they took a swing. The execution of that swing, not sure. There's a few parts of it that I'm not sure. What Betsy and Shepard were talking about with, a few the guys they got and the Seth Jones thing, especially I don't know if that's exactly how I would have done it, but they did.
Well, the Seth Jones thing screams we can't develop defensemen, so screw it. And I'm 100% convinced that Hamilton said I'm not coming because they would have just thrown that money at him and without trading.
I hope somebody gets an answer from someone in the Blackhawks front office about that, because he signed for $9 million a year. Seth Jones is getting more money. And I need to know if that was a possibility or not, because if that was a possibility, that's a massive indictment of the whole front office.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
It's not like he went to a contender anyway. He went to New Jersey.
Also, I thought there were reports a while ago when they were all hey, Chicago's interested in Hamilton, there were reports that were and Hamilton's interested in, if he can't sign in Carolina, it's really about fit and he likes certain cities and money, and that's the first time that I had even heard the Devils were connected to him, but they said Chicago too and a couple of other places and never mentioned again. It was on, I want to say, one of Friedman's things, but there was at least some mutual kind of interest, but maybe it never got explored. I think they like Jones better for that type of defenseman versus what Hamilton is, even though I think Hamilton is better.
Yeah.
The type, you can see it in the signings of Zadorov or the trade for Zadorov. And then the, signing of McCabe, they're going for a very specific type right now.
The opposite of the type that fits their scheme.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, I think the Jones thing, I know I've said this pretty openly, I don't hate him. You guys seem to really not like him as a player specifically. I think he's had two bad years. I don't think he's going to be a lead or anything like that. But I don't see somebody at 27 just completely shitting the bed. And he's going to have so much more pressure on him to perform now in Chicago than he would have in Columbus anyways. So I think we have to at least – the money's terrible, the trade's bad, but we have to at least see what happens.
I talked a little bit with some people from the Canon, which is our sibling side that covers the Blue Jackets for SB Nation. Or I shouldn't say cover, but, they're what we do but the Blue Jackets. Anyway – And the thing I kind of got from them was a little bit of the way we talk about Duncan Keith, and that it was just kind of a miscast role. They were trying to make him be a number one defenseman when maybe he wasn't. And so that's why it looked worse statistically and analytically than it may have
on
the eye test. I'm not in Shepard, are you okay?
They're paying him $9.5 million and he's not a number one defenseman.
No, I get that. Uh-oh. I get that. Uh-oh. I understand. But the point I'm trying to make, Shepard, is that he's not Nikita Zadorov. Like, he's going to be at minimum a replacement level defenseman. I'm fairly confident in that. And maybe and
think
probably
he's their
above
best
average.
Defenseman right may, now.
Yeah.
No. I know it's bold.
No. Connor Murphy is still better.
That's fine.
I know that's your guys' opinion. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just stating mine. Like, I think he has the skill set that exceeds the other players. It just depends if you can execute or not.
And he's
he ate the Hawks alive.
He's going to get paid like a number one defenseman.
As a child.
Yeah, he's going to get paid like a number one defenseman and not play for it. But he's also not going to like produce like a third liner. Like, you know, it's not like we're getting. I think there's the gap between where he's going to play at and where he's going to be paid. Yeah, it's going to be big. But again, it's not like we're getting. It's not like he's going to be as bad as Zadorov was, or you know, Brandon Manning. Like, this is a good NHL defenseman, just maybe not a great one like he's getting paid to be. And I know that's still a problem, but because of that, like, that's where I've kind of, like, backed away from how much I hated the trade, because he's still a good defenseman. He's not...
That's why I said the money and the trade are bad, but the Hawks are just saying, we can't develop defense. They gave up on Boqvist already. Like, they just... That's... I'm pretty convinced. Look at... Who have they developed?
That's a problem, and that means
the
Dan Bowman's going to be
retired
in a year. Yeah, that means Bowman's going to be fired in a year. So why are we letting him do this to us?
Bowman could go to the red line and pull down his pants in the middle of a game, and he wouldn't be fired. It's becoming insane. Like, this guy could. It's like I
again.
Doubt
he covered up a sexual assault scandal.
Yeah,
what are we doing? What are we doing?
I'm with you, dude. I just like you guys know I'm completely like. I don't want him here either, but it's just like the Hawks have pretty much rolled out the idea that, oh, it's fine. He's our guy. Granted, I don't know that they would have thrown a new GM this year. Maybe he will step away next year and go up, but I don't think he's going to get fired.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but that's, yeah.
He's not Kenny Williams and he's not worthy of the step up.
Well, I don't think so either. But like again, this is just my thoughts based on how the Hawks handle shit, which is poorly.
Yeah, like I think that's like so getting back to like what Betsy said about them being better, and I do think they're better, but I guess my concern now is like because of everything they threw at Seth Jones, the concern is that this team is going to be just good enough to make the playoffs. And maybe get into the second round, and that's about it.
Well, that's if Fleury plays.
Well, I even looking like long term, like beyond like the next like three, like the duration of Seth Jones' contract, essentially, like they're never going to be good enough to contend because they don't have enough depth, enough talent to reach that level.
I think it'll depend on if cap goes up or not. Cause there's,
that's true.
GMs are trading they think the cap is going to go up again soon. Like, I mean, there was that report that was like, it's going to stay flat for at least the next 2 years. But
ESPN should help.
GMs were throwing wild money around. Like they didn't care at all. They were like, flat cap, what the hell?
Yeah.
I wonder, do they know something that we don't know about, like how much money they're expecting to make because of?
I don't know. The last time they thought the cap was going to go up, the economy tanked because of oil. So they can't predict shit.
Do GMs know anything? Let's be real.
I mean,
some of them. Stevie Y knows some stuff.
I'll say the last point on Jones is that I railed on him, obviously, in a couple articles now, and I'm not super excited about him, but we've kind of have to try to see him as a new player here and see if he can do anything. Cause I think he could still be a top pair defenseman. I don't know if he's a legit number one. I think Vegas did really well for a couple of years without a legit number one on their team. They had a bunch of number like threes. Really? Like two threes?
Go look at them.
I know Shepard is like, excuse you, but Come on.
Because your shit theater is better than the three.
One of the cups that Pittsburgh won was with a bunch of no-names on the blue line because Chris Letang was dead. And I can't even remember who it was. I think Olimata might have been like the number 1 minutes guy.
Yeah, and Olimata sucks.
Wasn't Dumo?
No, it was Wasn't it Dumo. Yeah, it was Dumo.
Either way.
Yeah, Dumoulin's good, but he's not a top guy. Yeah.
I love Dumoulin. That's what I'm saying. But I don't know if the rest of the depth of the defense can carry that. And the Penguins forward group was very good. But yeah. I don't know. I'm just willing to – I've said my piece. I don't like it. I'm not super excited about him as a player. But he's here. We kind of have to just let him play and then get mad again if we need to.
Gotta let it all play out, right?
Yeah. Is it bad that I feel like the ceiling is Minnesota in 2010 stuff?
It very well could be. Like, I think the biggest thing with this group right now is this roster has been jumbled so much that I think any prognostications are probably silly because it's going to be so different next season. There's going to be so many new faces, so many different players. It's going to take a while to sort out. And if it doesn't get sorted out quickly, there might even be a new coach in there because I feel like there's a kind of indirect statement from the front office, like this losing shit needs to stop. And if they don't start winning very soon, Colleton's going to get the Dennis Savard treatment from 2008.
In Colleton's system, we're talking about Jones. How do you think we're going to feel about McCabe trying to play this fucking system?
Well, I've read a lot of good things about McCabe, and
I have a lot more confidence in him.
I like McCabe too, but I don't like him chasing guys behind the net.
That's true. I mean, and he does have he loves to hit. You know, that meatheads will like him because he's big.
But blasted line A in a game.
He's a better
hitter. Time somebody did.
In a meaningful way than, say, Zadorov was, at least, you know. Yeah. The point about it being the roster being so different is actually one of the things that I dislike. That makes me a little like concerned because I'm like, oh, it's going to be better. Like on paper, I think they're better. But when is the last time a team was successful with this much turnover?
Right.
Usually it takes. Okay. Other than an expansion team under a very good coach.
Yeah. Good teams don't turn over because they have good players.
The Hawks might like rattle off a few wins because they're going to be all jacked in front of fans, and then they're going to keep Colleton and then go on a huge skid.
Thanks for the optimism, Mel.
Yeah, that 1 year we like blew out the Pens the first two games, and everybody was like, "Oh my god!"
10-1.
Dude, I went to that game, and everyone's like, "We're winning the cup!" And then, like, literally after that, it was just like, "Oh."
Game three, everybody was like, "Oh shit!"
That was my first ever Second City Hockey game recap, and I think my first line was something like, do you think they're going to have the parade at Soldier Field or will they just go back down Michigan Avenue?
Ryan Carhart made 5 points in that game.
By the way,
Schmaltz Kane line like destroyed.
Yeah.
Remember that was going to be the next big thing for the next 10 years.
Todd had a hat trick and Sharp went like backwards in time and had a breakaway goal.
Speaking of roster turnover though, I was just looking at this. So fingers crossed that Jonathan Toews comes back next season, 100% health and all of that. He's going to walk into a very different room. The very last game he played was game 5 against the Golden Knights in the bubble in Canada. How many players from that roster or from that game will go 19 of them? How many of those players are still with the team, do you think? Taves included.
Do you want to just name them off? Do you want me to just start naming them? Kubalik, Dubrincat.
Well, I was going to have you Kane. Pick a number.
Yeah, pick a number.
I'll go 6.
Does Nylander count?
He didn't play, so no.
He played in that playoff.
He didn't play in that game. It was the very last game. Was
the one he got sat for Quinville, right?
Uh huh. Yeah, John Quinville. By the way, oh yeah, we lost John Quinville in the expansion draft.
Sky Point.
Oh no! Oh no! Seattle picked so well. Uh oh.
I would guess like 8. I mean, it depends. Do you consider Strom still part of the team?
Oh, well, he's under contract, so yeah.
Yeah, DeHaan, same thing. So 8?
I got to make my list. Not counting Tapes himself, clearly. And you said not Nylander because he didn't play in that game.
7.
four off the top of my head. 12, 5. I don't know. I'll probably say like 6.
It's 9.
Nine? Really? Yeah, nine. Who are they? Name them.
Carpenter, Doc, DeHaan, DeBrinket, Kane, Kubalik, Murphy, Strom, Taves.
Oh, I forgot Carpenter exists.
I forgot Carpenter existed too.
I had to look it up to make sure he was still on the roster. But yes, Ryan Carpenter is still on the Blackhawks. And still a very legitimate good fourth liner, and I'm glad he's back with the team next year because he's a good pounder.
No, I like him too. Every time he scores, I tweet Taylor Swift, I'm feeling 22.
But he's a fourth liner. Those guys are kind of forgettable.
Well, amongst all the chaos that we just broke down, like, I don't think we were thinking about anybody actually from last year.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's fascinating how much this team turned over in the matter of a week.
Subban is probably gone though, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. Assuming Fleury stays, they have too many.
Assuming Fleury stays,
maybe they can give. What is it? Buffalo doesn't have any goalies right now.
Yeah, Buffalo.
They don't need them.
Dallas has like 4 or 5.
Yeah, like 4 good ones.
Buffalo tried having goalies last year, and it didn't matter, so they don't need them.
Dallas tried Colorado having a hockey team for the last decade.
No, they just
got Kemper.
Are they really going to go with Francouz again, bagging him up?
Yeah, I think their GM or somebody said that they're expecting to have him back next season. So
maybe they want Subban, decent backup.
Subban or Delia, one of the two. Delia might want out of town now, seeing Fleury in front of him on the old depth chart, considering how he had to play last year.
Saad hasn't signed, right?
No.
Brandon Saad has not signed, and we thank will God. Not speak of where he's talking, allegedly.
And Bella the Ball. No.
Oh, dude, they just moved. Sorry. Not hockey related. Never mind.
Are you
United Center.
Something happening in wrestling?
Yeah, they moved an event to United Center because CM Punk signed, so they're probably going to sell at the UC.
I should get him on the pod, see what he thinks about all the Blackhawks moves. Big Blackhawks fan. Tweets us every now and then.
The GOAT.
I think there was a move recently he was really excited about, but I can't remember what it was. Or maybe
what, to be McCabe?
Or maybe he was just upset.
He was flurry because he was talking shit to Renee Young because she likes Vegas.
There we go. To summarize everything, chaos, pretty much. Like, if it felt like a very chaotic week, and I have no idea what the hell to expect out of this team next year. But to piggyback off of what Mill said, I think it's going to be interesting from an on ice perspective. Hopefully, it's less interesting from an off ice perspective because all that shit gets taken care of and goes away.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a car wreck. Interesting.
Yeah, I feel like August could be the car wreck. Hopefully by September the wreckage is cleaned up and we can get back to hockey things. Fingers crossed. So there were some draft things. I think we're going to take a quick time out. We're going to come back on the other side and we're going to touch a little bit on the draft stuff because, well, the Blackhawks did what the Blackhawks do in that they siblings because why not? So come back, listen for all of that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised before the break, I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into some of the draft picks that the Hawks made. It was really nice that we did like a full 2 or 3 weeks profile, like 10 to 15 guys that the Hawks could pick with that number 11 pick overall. And then they fucking traded it away. So
told you it was going to happen.
Yeah. That was a fair call. We should have expected it. There was like number 11, but technically 12 because hockey's stupid, but who cares? They didn't pick there anyway. So a quick rundown of who the Hawks did pick. In the first round, defenseman Nolan Allen, number 32 overall. In the second round, they picked Colton Dock because, of course, they did, Kirby Dock's younger brother. Third round, it was defenseman Tage Harding. Fourth round, it was defenseman Ethan Del Mastro. Fifth round, it was forward Victor Sternborg. Sixth round, and we were just talking about this, this is the most incredible coincidence. My mind was blown former site manager Brandon Kane put this together. They drafted Ilya Safonov out of Russia, who's a huge forward. And that name probably means nothing to a lot of you unless I tell you that you've seen him on TV or seen a clip of him a zillion times, because he's the guy that collided with Kirby Doc and broke his wrist at the World Juniors a year ago.
They only picked him so they could beat him up.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw someone suggest in our comments that Colton Dox would have to drop the gloves with him at prospect camp to make up for it. They also drafted Connor Kelly in the seventh round, a defenseman from Minnesota. And the last pick, number 216 in the seventh round, was Jalen Lupin, a forward from the WHL. I will, to be full disclosure to everyone, I don't know much of anything about most of these guys. I never do. Draft preparation is something I'm not good at. So I know Betsy and Shepard are more into this stuff. So and they shared some opinions already, and I know they probably have some more. So Shepard, we opened with you. So Betsy, your thoughts on the draft, and I don't know if you want to start with Nolan Allen or just wherever you want to start, just whatever you want to do. The floor is yours.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that I don't dislike any of these players in general, but Nolan Allen at 32 was a weird reach. He is fine, and that's not exactly what you want when you're picking it.
Fine is not the word you want to describe your first round pick.
Yeah, he's got room to grow. He's really good defensively. He's an excellent skater. He can't puck handle very well. There were some people that were trying to compare him to Jalmerson and Seabrook. Both of them were very good puck handlers in their primes. Jalmerson wasn't offensive. People were like, well, offense isn't everything. That's fine, but you have to handle the puck. You can't just like turn it over that much.
You can, because that's what the Blackhawks.
No, that's a great point though. Jalmerson was amazing handling the puck in his own
ass. Oh, we're gonna talk plenty about Jalmerson in a little
bit. Yeah. So, you know, don't make that comparison yet, because the technical skills of puck handling isn't there. He actually probably could be better offensively. He was better at the World Juniors offensively with a higher quality teammate. So maybe he's just a bigger project than you would really pick at that time. And there were better, quote unquote, better guys on the board to me. I don't know who Harding is.
We have this photo service that gets you, we get photos of most prospects that we can include with our articles. Tage Harding got nothing. I have no idea where the fuck he came from.
I don't remember. I had his number written down with the note very big next to it. That's
he's Scottish, and that's what matters. He's Scottish, and that's what matters.
Oh, hang on. We're going to do the rest of this pod. Shepard has to talk in his Scottish accent.
Beautiful.
I don't mind any of the other ones. I think Connor Kelly might be a good, I can't even remember seventh round?
Yeah.
You know, like a lottery pick. I like Kelly a lot. They went with a lot of overagers, which makes sense, because they would have had way more scouting on them, because they would have seen them the year before a lot more too, leading up to that draft. And then of the forwards, I don't mind Doc. His skating is terrible though. He'll really need to work on that if he even wants to make it to the NHL. I think if his skating could get to at least NHL average caliber, he could be really good. Not like Doc good, but maybe a middle six guy. He's got the hands for it, and he thinks pretty well. And then other than that, the Swedish guy, Sternborg, I love him. Okay.
okay.
I do. I think he's great. I didn't watch as much SHL, but he was playing at 17 and mostly in fourth line minutes in a defensive role. And he looked positive the entire time. But prior to that, he was highly offensive. So,
like in a good way, though.
Yeah.
like the offensive.
Not offensive.
Yeah.
Offensive production.
He could put up
points. He's got good hands. It'll be interesting. His stock dropped, I think, because of the role he was playing. But there's not a lot of kids that play in SHL and hold their own while essentially playing a shutdown role. And that's what he did. So it's something to build on. I liked their back picks better than I did their top picks, mostly because I think a lot of the players they picked were third rounder. That's what Shepard and I were saying. We're like, they picked a lot of third rounders, just both in the first and the seventh.
As you do.
LBR, if we had 2 weeks to pick to like do profiles on who they would have taken, who they could have taken at 32nd, do you think we would have gotten to Nolan Allen?
No, I wouldn't even like. I wouldn't have, like I said, if he'd gotten taken at Colton Dock's position, that wouldn't have been like a bad thing, but I still wouldn't have picked him then.
Yeah, I weirdly still would have done Aturati ahead of him.
Yeah, I for a second I thought that's who the Hawks might go with because of how far he was dropping down draft boards. But if like to piggyback on what you said, sorry, go ahead, Betsy.
I was just gonna say if they were going for defensemen, which it was a lot, there wasn't as much. There's a little Czech kid, oh my God, what is his name? It's like, oh my God.
They're all little Czech kids. as far as I'm concerned.
There was Morrow and there
Stankoven.
Was Stankoven. And then there were a couple of other.
Such a good name.
I know. damn it. Why am I forgetting this kid's name? It's like, he's an SS name. So it's like, why are you forgetting who he is? But there was also Zellweger, who I thought played better than Allen did at the World Juniors. He played lower. And then there was Chaka. So there were other options if they wanted to go defense. I'm just not sure why that guy was there.
Was it Svozil? Yeah. Stanislav Svozil?
Yeah, okay.
Stanislav.
He was picked way lower, so it's like a lot of teams obviously passed on him. I just liked him better.
Yeah, to piggyback off what you said though, Betsy, like in regards to Nolan Allen, if you go through the draft rankings, like the Hawks drafted him 32nd overall, Elite Prospects had him 83, FC Hockey 101, TSN 59, McKean's Hockey 89. Dauber Prospects 93, Draft Prospects 64. He was the number 40 North American skater by NHL Central Scouting. So like, as you guys were saying, like there's a fairly decent chance he would have been there in the Colton Dock position, but then they wouldn't have been able to draft Kirby's little brother. So
I don't know about that. Colton might have been there in the third round when they drafted Page.
I mean, if they hadn't given away their second round pick in the Seth Jones trade, they could have.
You know what article I really think we need to do is we should all try to predict how long Allen will stay in the organization before he gets traded. And then we should try to pick which one of the top 20 Bowman's going to trade for. Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, like to your point, Bill, like the last defenseman, the last Blackhawks defenseman that they drafted to sign a second contract with the team, I believe, remains Nicklas Hjalmarsson. Right?
Yep.
And it will remain so.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little concerned with all these veteran defensemen that they've added in the last month. I'm already concerned about the futures of Ian Mitchell and Nicholas Beaudin and Wyatt Kalinuk. Like, I know I won't be horribly devastated if some of those guys go back to the AHL, but they could probably benefit from that. But it's also like I'm worried if they go back to the AHL, that's where they're going to stay until they get traded.
That's very valid. That's very valid.
To bring it back to Allen, not even he thought he was going to be drafted because he didn't have the like family camera set up. Like, all of, like that's how you know. Like, even he didn't rate himself.
It was a late night. He was in bed when the Hawks called him. They woke him up. Hey, we're going to draft you, kid.
I mean, even like Reichel last year, he was like, you know, he was in the, like mostly ranked in the bottom half of the first round, so they had him set up, but he stayed up until like what 5 a.m. his time or something. But he just didn't even have a camera set up. Even he, the actual player, did not expect to be drafted then. So,
and yet it's still not the worst first round pick of this year's draft. Because that goes to the one right before the Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah. I can't even, what can you say about Montreal because of what the Blackhawks are in the middle of right now? So. And I think the biggest lesson I've learned is don't ever try to play the morality card with a professional sports franchise because
they don't care.
Because they don't care. And next week it could be your team.
I was about to say, you should see the comments over on the Canes blog about D'Angelo. And you're just like, they wrote a great piece about why that's not a good move. And then the comments are like, trash.
Yeah, and now they're also in on Jake Furtman.
Oh, no, that was... I thought I saw that that was not true. I thought I saw a tweet from somebody that was at the press conference with Waddell, Waddle, whatever his name is, that that was not true. They were not in on Furtman.
Okay.
Probably good. Don't bring in...
Well, to again make another awkward transition away from that, you know what? We've had some of this hasn't been the most enjoyable conversation. Let's flash back 10 years and let's just talk about Niklas Hjalmarsson for a little bit, who announced his retirement from hockey. He's going to go back to Sweden and eat all the meatballs he can.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to him. He played over 800 games with the Hawks. He was there for 14 seasons. He won 3 Stanley Cups. He was... I think I've been a little bit surprised myself with, I don't think I was quite as hip with the analytics. So what some of these numbers meant while like Hjalmarsson was in his prime. I feel like it's more like the last 4 to 5 years I've gotten a better understanding of that. I don't think I realized how good analytically Hjalmarsson was.
Oh, he's there was a tweet recently. He was one of the best defensive defensemen ever. And if the Blackhawks are going to start retiring numbers of, oh, that's right, they can't retire his number for the next 9 years.
Well, for what it's worth, and I love Hammer, I think there's so many guys that are going to get their number put up that they're probably not going to put 4 up.
Yeah, it's like he's an interesting one because he was a huge part. Like he won 3 cups. There was only a handful of guys that were there for all 3.
7 of them, I think.
Yeah. So it like that immediately puts him in a very unique group. And I think because he was the under the radar guy, I think that might be why his number doesn't get retired, because he maintains the under the radar-ness.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. He was always behind Keith and Seabrook, obviously, in terms of like who people are focusing on, but Keith and Seabrook can't be who they are without Hjalmarsson being there, especially in the latter two. And that tweet about him being like the best defensive defenseman, that went like 5 different people who do models, right?
Yes.
They all were like, yeah, that's accurate.
It was nice to see like all the analytics people like complimenting somebody from the Blackhawks for a change. Because I feel like every time they tweet about something related to the Blackhawks lately, it's been, oh, here's how bad this is going to be. So it was nice to see something positive, even if it was a guy from that hasn't been on the team in 5 years.
Yeah, and one of my favorite moments of his was like when they, like that one, they swept Minnesota. But the last like couple of minutes of that one game where we got the empty net, the Blackhawks got the empty net, but then the Wild started to come back and Hjalmarsson was like blocking shots left and right. And then finally when the buzzer went, he like threw his stick like a javelin. Yes.
The hammer stick throw, like there's so many of them. If you like, I have about 4 or 5 saved on my computer. Maybe I'll drop them in the comment section of this article of when we,
there's a brutal one against Nashville in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like he threw it up in the ceiling. In the rafters.
Yeah, like, there's one where he scored. I think after he scored a goal, he skated by somebody else's stick and like slashed it into the wall because he was annoyed that he scored a goal, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it was.
Abe's tried to do that once, but his ended up in the 5th row. You guys remember that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And Hammer was just, it was. He got, and this is also like another thing that I didn't realize that I learned. And Mill, you might have seen this because it was in our comments. And I want to credit Second City Hockey commenter J27 Ronick with pointing this out because I had no idea. Do you know how they got the 4th round pick for Niklas Hjalmarsson? Do you know who they traded away to get that pick?
It was Karpatsev, right?
That was Alexander Karpatsev.
Because they used to have this like thing in the Real Fans program that you got at the games, you know, the faxes one, and they would have like the tree of where everybody came from. So I used to read into that a little bit.
Okay, I had no idea that's Karpatsev was like the best comparison is basically Zadorov now.
Does Pat Foley know about that?
I don't know, but maybe we'll get Karpatsev's a good read.
Since passed, right?
He did. He was on the locomotive.
Yeah, and the plane.
KHL plane crash, yeah.
But Pat Foley, if you guys go on YouTube, he drove him into the ground before that.
Yeah, there's a video there. But anyway, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, good times.
It's kind of great to see him get like rated positively when he was so underrated before.
Mm-hmm.
There was a discussion in the comments about, you know, like, is he a Hall of Famer? And I was sitting there thinking, normally I wouldn't think that, but I wonder if the new focus on analytics might start shifting who gets in and out of like Hall of Fame situations, because there was nothing but outpouring of love for him and how awesome he was. So it was very interesting. Like that right there was super interesting to me. I don't think he will still, but
I guess it comes down to who, like how they handle, I don't even know how the Hall of Fame for hockey does it. Like, I think most pro league, it's like, there's like a panel and it's a lot of sports writers. So
yeah, I don't,
a bunch of grumpy old guys aren't going to put him in.
Well, I thought the same thing about the Norris, but Adam Fox won it. And I was not expecting him to, because he's an analytic darling.
Yes. That's two different groups of people.
I know, but
yeah,
I just mean like by the time Hjalmarsson gets to like, it's not going to be anytime soon. It's not going to be like Hosa. Right. No. Maybe by then the people that are there are more savvy. It's a long time, but
yeah, the biggest problem with Nicholas Hjalmarsson's Hall of Fame case is that the Rod Langway or like a defensive defenseman award does not exist, because he was never going to win the Norris because he doesn't put up offensive points.
He never even got like into an All-Star game.
Yeah, but if there was a focus on defensive defensemen like there is, like there should be, he would have been like 5 years running. Yeah. He would have had like a Nicholas Lidstrom streak. This guy's the best.
For what it's worth, I mean, Dave, you watched the All-Star game. What place does Nicholas Hjalmarsson have in that?
That's true.
The NHL All-Star game was a
Maybe the hardest shot competition. He did it incredibly rarely, and it was Betsy wrote the post and put the video in there. I'm glad I did, because like the most famous offensive moment of his entire career
got robbed,
was washed out by the worst penalty call in playoff history.
Ugh.
Maybe that's exactly.
Brandon Saad literally got murdered on that.
He got chokeslammed. He got chokeslammed by Kyle
into the bench.
Yeah, he got pushed into the bench and then body slammed onto the ice.
Yeah.
Because he like pushed upwards.
And we're still this pissed off about a game the Hawks won.
I mean, and it did set up the most brilliant Seabrook moment ever.
Yeah.
You know, like that iconic.
Oh, 7-2, outshining 4 again.
So I guess it was just the way the universe wanted to write it, but he was so robbed.
Yeah.
That was Dave Bolin's moment for it's also as well. Like he had a great, great takeaway on that to set up old Seabrook.
Oh, that beautiful hit. Yeah.
Trying to think of what other Hjalmarsson things, like you guys were talking about this. You guys were talking about his stick handling earlier, and like the number one thing that I will remember from Nicholas Hjalmarsson is he's the only guy that could get away with this. But I feel like there was a decent amount of times he would be facing the end boards and he'd make that little backhand pass into the slot, which sounds like the worst idea in the world, but it was always tape to tape to the center that was down low, and that relieved all the pressure and the Hawks would go.
Oh yeah. He's the only guy.
The number one thing you probably teach young defensemen is to don't throw a blind backhand pass into the low slot. But he could do it because he knew his teammate was there.
Friggin' tape to tape, usually to 19 who's out there. But that they would run him and Oduya behind that top line.
Hammer and Oduya were like the defensive shutdown pairing for like 3 seasons.
Because they'd be like with the Red Wedding line and then later with Taves, Hossa, Saad.
Yeah. Oh man. See, this like whenever we have conversations like this, I just want to go back and watch games from the first half of the 2010s.
I want to go back and watch 2013. That's my favorite cup win.
Hey, same.
I don't know.
They're like, it's like picking a favorite child.
I picked one.
Yes, so did I. I've had a favorite since that year.
I love 2010 for what it was, but I don't know what it is about 2013, but it was like, maybe it was the whole season, you know, it just all went into each other and it was perfect. And then 2015 is special because it's at home, but
2013 was funny because they had to redo the schedule like so fast. So on
because of the lockout.
Right, but all the tickets were already printed, so they put stickers over the original ones. So I remember going to like one of the games where it was like Hawks versus Stars, and I peeled it back, and it's like Hawks Flames in October. It's like that didn't happen. They just half-assed it.
I feel like that would be ripe for counter. Like, these are my tickets for this game. You can't tell. It's got a sticker.
I mean, they mailed them.
They didn't have that technology yet.
Oh.
Well, no, those are, never mind. Those are season ticket holder ones because if you bought them from them, they're like Ticketmaster. But yeah. It was just funny. I was like, this is super half-assed. And you guys have a lot of money.
Yeah.
What a fun year.
I think the 2013 year, I think because of the lockout, because there was like the potential for no hockey, and then there was hockey, and then the Hawks didn't lose in regulation for literally half the season. So yeah. And because they beat Boston, God damn, that was fun to beat Boston.
The coldest home opener of all time too, because it started in January.
Yeah. I think 2013 might be my favorite child too.
All right. Well, like it is the best overall season, but I'm just saying
we've got a little bit of time left. Maybe Shepard, if you had a food take available for us, we got a little bit here. We can squeeze one in before we embark, because I feel like after this episode, we went 0-90 for the last week with Blackhawks news, and then we're going to go right back down to zero pretty quickly.
We're going to get a GoFundMe for Shepard's pizza.
Yeah. So Shepard, you got your food take ready?
Yeah, I got a food take ready.
Okay. Let's hear it. Pitter patter.
I'm just gonna, I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if I said it before, but it's this. Barbecue is the best cuisine in the world. It doesn't matter whether it's Korean or American, Texas or St. Louis. If you fed me a pulled pork sandwich every day for the rest of my life, I'd be perfectly content.
Oh, it'd be a pretty short life because you'd have a heart attack by about 40, but it'd be a tasty
one. Fine. I'm fine with that. What am I doing here? I'm working towards something, but once I work towards that, once I hit that something, what am I doing here?
Yeah. I mean, my only other counter that would be Italian food, because Italian food, I'm going to lump pizza in there.
So. Yeah, well, pizza's weird to me because like there's a lot of contention about where its origins lie. And yes, it's technically Italy, but it's also technically America.
Also, if you're going to say like technically barbecue is like a subset of it's a subset of Korean. It's a subset of Southern, mm-hmm. Italian Bubba
barbecue.
You can't, those aren't the same. You have to pick one thing from Italian or one thing that can go, like pizza can go in different varieties or something like that.
Okay. Well then I've got, I have no counter because barbecue is delicious.
Barbecue like, is it, really good.
Especially once they think of like a good vegetarian entree.
So let's wait. You're talking about barbecue, now you're talking about vegetarian options. I feel like this
they can make good vegetarian.
They have a good one at Riot Fest.
They can do it. Yeah, they can do it.
They have a truck, and they have like you get like a. It might be vegan, actually. I'm not like full vegan, so I'm not sure if it is or not. But it's like some kind of like fake pulled pork. It might be made out of tofu, and. It might be jackfruit, but like I cook with jackfruit a lot, and it wasn't like that's the texture, but it didn't taste like it. So I don't. They cooked it really good,
but
they have like you get like cornbread and all kind of stuff like that, like collard greens, like the whole plate. It's pretty good.
Do you prepare it the same way? I feel like the whole point of barbecue is that it is cooking meats for a very very long period of time.
Yeah, you can't do that because it'll destroy it. So it's definitely different.
So then I don't think that's barbecue then. Personally.
Fair.
It's that's fake fair. Barbecue.
I mean, like I can't really have an opinion on this.
Like vegetarian barbecue sounds like an oxymoron.
I mean, like it's just the thing I've tried the one time or twice that I was there, so that's why I chipped it in. Like I said, otherwise I can't really have an opinion.
All right, well, in about 2 months, Mel, we'll remind me, we'll try out this vegetarian barbecue or whatever.
Oh, you think right? Oh no, you got to pay better attention to what the COVID numbers are looking like, bud. 2 months. Uh oh.
Well, I mean, they're doing Lala this weekend, so
please don't go to Lala.
Don't go to.
Stay safe.
No, I'm not going to Lala because I have no reason to go to Lala.
Lala's there's a bunch of great like Jimmy Eat World and stuff, but Lala's awful.
Yeah, I'm okay, but Ride Fest is my shit. So
actually, I don't like any festival. So like, I'm really boring. I just like to play. I hate being outside for 15 hours with a bunch of people. I'm like no fun at all, am I?
Yeah, really, really exciting. God damn. All right. Well,
I'm still thinking about barbecue, and now I really want some tandoori, Indian tandoori, because it's delicious. Lamb, yes.
All right. Well, we've exposed Mill for being completely bored, and I think we're good here.
It's all right, Dave. We'll get a $15 beer together and eat at Cheesy's.
I'll be at breakfast. I got my shots.
I mean, no, I know.
If I gotta get a booster, I'll get a booster. But I'll be at breakfast. So yeah, I think it's gonna. Well, here, any other final thoughts?
The Blackhawks aren't done. I don't think they are.
I think that's fair. I feel like they're going to be more sell mode than like acquiring anything else for the most part, right?
Yeah, if they were smart, they'd try to get rid of Connolly, keep Strome. I like Strome.
Asterisk, if they were smart.
And then I don't know.
They've proven they're not.
I would keep DeHaan until they have a definitive answer about Fleury.
Fair. And I think they are, assuming that Brandon Hagel's coming back. Like, there's no way in hell they're going to let that go. I just assume they're waiting for the ability to make it all work financially. Right? Yeah. Like, Hagel's not going anywhere. That's a very useful
piece. He's an RFA,
yeah.
Right?
He got his qualifying offer. He's not going anywhere. And I'd be
saying, yeah, they can wait on him.
So did Nylander.
Well, I mean, that
might be them not wanting to give up an asset for free.
I'm willing to give him one more chance, but short leash on that one.
They have so many forwards.
They have so many forwards. They have so many defensemen. There's so many players.
They're going that whole quantity over quality.
can I say this? If Caleb Jones jumps the line over Ian Mitchell, Nicholas Beaudin, I'm going to be upset.
Well, Shepard.
You're probably going to be upset.
I mean, like, Nikita Zadorov played almost more than anybody last year.
Whichever one of you said the point that Ian Mitchell and Beaudin are waiver exempt so they can be sent to Rockford. I feel like that might be your number
one. Kalinuk, too?
Kalinuk's older than all of those.
He should be playing anyways. He's good.
Yeah, I think Beaudin and Mitchell could be.
No, he is. He's an ELC. But it's Beaudin, Mitchell, Kurashev, Kalinuk. Those are the four that are waiver exempt other than Doc, but Doc's not going anywhere.
Say goodbye to Kurashev. Yeah, how many more months till this reverts back to a free Kurashev podcast?
One. Yeah, exactly. If he's not on the opening night roster, I will be very upset and very vocal about the fact
that I'll be like throwing things. Like, what the are you doing?
I mean, reportedly Columbus asked for him and Bowman said no. So that's nice because apparently it was Doc, DeBrincat, Reichel, and Kurashev that they didn't want to move. I don't
know. Nah, he wasn't willing to give up a pair of Docs.
Yeah.
I must have both.
I would not have minded losing Kurashev instead of Boqvist, but whatever. I don't know if that would have sufficed.
Well, you know, the first round pick, as per tradition, must be traded.
That's right.
Yeah, the Jones trade got a lot better because, again, it originally involved the Brinkett and I think all the Chicago Riots if that trade goes through.
Yeah, like, I have a very low opinion of the front office for reasons hockey-related and not, but they can't be that fucking stupid.
And they weren't, thankfully.
And they were not. So congrats to them for walking under the lowest bar possible.
Of course.
Well, they probably...
I was going to say Teravainen was at one point an untouchable. And look out.
This sounds stupid,
but like, this is a serious thing coming from my work background. Like, they'd probably see how many like people are buying DeBrincat shit, not just jerseys, but like all of it.
Yeah, but that didn't help with Panarin. Like, I'm gonna stop mentioning all the
people. Okay, but the good news is the Brinkhead is now far more established than either Kaveh or Panarin
But keep in mind, when Panarin was on the team, like, look at how many guys were on the team that, like, you know, Taves, Kane, Seabrook, Keith, like all these guys who were, like, cup winners.
Yeah, it's true.
So people were still buying stuff from the year before because those guys had won. Like, Panarin had a nice little boost for a while, but I think in the grand scheme of things, like, now it's different because there's only Taves and Kane. I know it's a really stupid thing to bring up, but it's like, they want to make their money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember Panarin was literally on one of the social stories the morning that he got traded. And people were like, okay. He was like on the face of one of their like those like videos that they do every once in a while. And they took the tweet down.
Was it on a soup and sandwich video?
No, it was on something that was like exploring Chicago with a player or something like that. Cause it was very like, I'm at the Bean or something like, and I was like, oh, poor sad bread man.
Yeah, Panarin would have won with them. It might be different, but like, I said this in a comment today, not that that trade is justified at all, but like, him being here the last few years wouldn't have helped their blue line.
Yeah.
No, but
he's fine.
That's a more volatile topic than I thought it would be, by the way, in the comments.
Yeah, people are nuts. Like, I was with you. I was just telling people, like, look, it is what it is now, and at least we don't have to watch big countries Adorov.
It's true.
Makes my life easier.
That is the perfect note to end on.
Yes.
So that's going to do it for this episode of Second City Hockey. Mill is on Twitter at Mill182. Shepard's at Shepard Price. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find all her stuff at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. I might be back on Twitter. We're going to keep it under low key for a while. We might have freed Dave, but we'll see.
I'm Dave's burner account in the meantime. If you need him, contact
me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mill is my PR guy. So reach out to him. But thank you very much for listening to this episode. Thanks to the three of you for hanging out tonight. Stay tuned to secondcityhockey.com. If any other news breaks, we will write about it there. Follow the main account at 2ND City Hockey on Twitter. And yeah, keep an eye out. Anything else happens with the Hawks, God knows something's probably going to happen tomorrow because that's how this is working lately. We'll write about it. We'll talk about it here. And we'll see you next week. So that'll do it. For Betsy, for Shepard, for Mill, I'm Dave. Go Hawks.